The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Good morning. Welcome to AgeWise Living with Barbara Friesner. Barbara is here to keep you educated on elder care issues. She will give you the information you need to help your aging loved one and yourself. Now here is your host, Barbara Friesner.
Good morning and welcome to the Day After Labor Day edition of AgeWise Living. Thank you all so much for joining us today, and I hope you had a wonderful holiday weekend. It's cool and crisp here in the Northeast, which is just the way I like it. I hope it stays this way all fall and into the snow. And I'm invigorated for a great show today, and that's what we have for you, a great show. For those of you who are new to the show or have lives of your own and don't remember who you are, who I am or who you are, I'm your host, Barbara Friesner, and my company is AgeWise Living, and I'm a generational coach. And I became a generational coach as the result of my experience as a care manager for more than 25 years. First for my grandmother for many years and then overlapping with her for the past 17 years for my mother, who had severe advanced dementia. And as a result of my own personal experience, I know how overwhelming elder care can be, and that's why I became a generational coach, to help other families have an easier time as they journey through elder care. I work with the families, and only the family, never the senior, and I work with families who are struggling to help their aging loved ones resolve critical elder care issues. I help them to know what to do, and more importantly, I think, I coach the family on how to do it, how to put in place those things that need to be done, and how to communicate effectively with their aging loved one so they'll actually do what is in their best interest. And since all generational coaching is by phone, I work with people all over the country, actually all over the world, because I just started working with a son who is temporarily living in South Africa, which is pretty cool. And a lot of the time, I work with one adult child, which is usually the caregiving daughter, but I work by phone, so that also allows me to work with all of the siblings who might be spread out all over the country, and I do that by conference call. And working with all of the siblings is really the best option because it allows me to work with all the siblings so everyone can get on the same page and cooperate with each other. And that way the, you know, one person doesn't have to keep everybody in line. That's my job, to help everybody to see what's the best solution and to do it. I'm also an adjunct professor at Cornell University, where I teach senior housing management. I write a free weekly newsletter with lots of great articles about issues affecting seniors and their families. And by the way, if you haven't signed up yet for my free weekly newsletter, I really urge you to do that. It's really easy. All you have to do is go to agewiseliving.com, and on every page there's a place where you can sign up for the newsletter. So again, that's agewiseliving.com. Then in addition, I write a monthly column for the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, and I'm the creator of the Ultimate Caregiver Success System, which you can find all about on the shop page of my website, again, agewiseliving.com. And because of my mother's dementia, dementia is a particular passion of mine. So I created a CD called Is It Simple Forgetfulness or the Real Thing? And it's really a terrific CD, if I do say so myself, which I do. And you can find that on the shop page of my website, agewiseliving.com, as well. And to help people avoid problems before they happen, I also do speeches and workshops all over the country. And I have this show, Age-Wise Living, because it's my mission to help family members help their aging loved ones resolve their elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Now, as most of you probably know, caregiving can and usually is exhausting and overwhelming and emotional. And caregiving can bring out the best, but sometimes the worst in the caregiver. Caregiving can also take over your life and, let's face it, make you a little crazy, and sometimes more so than others. But fortunately, there are more and more resources available out there to help and support the caregiver. And what we're going to talk about today is a resource you can give yourself, which is writing about it, also known as journaling. Now, with everything you have going on, why would you want to write about it? Well, writing gives perspective and restores sanity, which is always a good thing. Writing is a lifeline as well as a record. And in fact, it's been proven that writing saves lives. So that's certainly an important aspect of it. And that's why I am so delighted to have as our guest today Lynn Goodwin. She's an expert on the subject of caregiver journaling and the author of a wonderful book called You Want Me to Do What? Journaling for Caregivers. So hi, Lynn. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Barbara. It's very nice to be here this morning, and I'm delighted to do this.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to have you here, too. And let me tell the listeners a little bit about you. Lynn Goodwin is a teacher, editor, freelance writer, former caregiver, and the author of You Want Me to Do What? Journaling for Caregivers. She's published in Voices of Caregivers, Hip Mama, which is interesting, the Oakland Tribune, the Contra Costa Times, the Danville Weekly, Staying Sane While You're Dieting, Small Press Review, Dramatics Magazine, Career, Caregiving, and Self-Care, which is an NCDA monograph. What does NCDA stand for?
National Council. I don't know. I would have to look it up.
Oh, that's okay. It sounds like an interesting article. Career, Caregiving, and Self-Care. It's a monograph and numerous e-zines. She facilitates journaling workshops and publishes Writer Advice, which you can find at writeradvice.com. And I'll give you that website again. So, again, welcome, Lynn. I am delighted to have you here today.
Well, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to do this.
I know we have both sides of the country covered because I'm in New York and you're out on the West Coast in California.
Exactly.
So we've got everybody covered here. So let's jump in with both feet. You know, it's interesting. I really had not heard that much about journaling until the past few years, and now I hear about it all the time. So let's start with a really basic question. What is journaling and what makes it so great?
Journaling is simply writing down your thoughts. It's simply talking on paper. Journaling can actually be whatever you decide to make it. You can journal about your feelings. You can journal about events. You can journal about your anger. You can journal to figure out why something happened, to discover that you did nothing wrong, to discover that you did everything right. You can explore in journaling. You can go wherever the writing takes you. And it's so wonderful because it's all yours. It belongs to you. There are no rules connected to it. You can journal in prose, in poetry, in pictures, in lists. Any way you want to do it is the right way to journal on that particular day.
Now, is that something we used to call a diary?
It is like a diary. The difference is that a diary is a list of events and who kissed who behind the portable, seventh grade. And in a journal, as adults write and as teenagers write in a journal, they tend to reflect and analyze more than just record the events. So a diary is more like a soap opera, and a journal is a little bit more like PBS.
Okay, well, I like that. Okay. And what makes it so great? I mean, you mentioned all of those things, and I think that really,
I guess that answered my question, because what makes it great is that it gives you an opportunity to really be more reflective than you might otherwise be.
Exactly. It's a chance to step away from whatever part of the routine is just too much to take at the moment. Give yourself a breath or two. There's something about putting a pen to paper that shifts the way you think and shifts the way you process things. And I've made my book deliberately small enough that you can just grab it and go to the bathroom and jot down three lines right in the middle of doing something. I mean, you have to do that. You have to leave the room anyway. You can just take your journal with you and jot something down, and you will feel better even in two or three lines. You will start discovering stuff almost immediately. It's a lot like taking a deep breath and discovering something.
Yeah, interesting. When did you start journaling, and what made you start journaling? I mean, what gave you that thought to start journaling?
Well, that's a very good question. I actually began journaling in probably in college. I have an old journal from college. I recently discovered some journals from the 80s, which were a matter of processing the stress of teaching 180 10th graders and also directing shows. And I haven't really looked at those. But I began journaling as a caregiver in 1997. And interestingly enough, I wrote in a red journal. It was red with Snoopy dancing on the cover and line pages. It had been a present from my mother, who was the person I was taking care of. And I know it sounds a little as if that journal is kid-like, but maybe that's appropriate because it was from my mother, and she always saw me as a kid, which is one of the areas that comes up when you're caregiving.
Mm-hmm.
There's role reversal and the denial of role reversal. And I began
and your mother
in that
had,
journal.
You were taking care of your mother because she had Alzheimer's, right?
She had undiagnosed Alzheimer's.
Okay, so she had a form of dementia, whatever it was.
Yeah, they decided in the last 6 months, some experts came in, and it was very clear to them that she had Alzheimer's. It went undiagnosed because she handled it so well when she was with other people that nobody knew.
Yeah,
she was
that
really
happens.
Fighting to stay in control of her brain.
Yeah, fascinating. We're going to come back to that. We have to go for a short break right now, but when we come back, we will be talking with our guest, Lynn Goodwin, and she will be answering more questions about journaling for caregivers. And by the way, to get more information about Lynn and her book, which is called You Want Me to Do What? Journaling for Caregivers, go to her website, which is Writer Advice, WriterAdvice.com, and then click on Journaling for Caregivers. And for more information about me and AgeWise Living and to sign up for my free weekly newsletter, please go to AgeWiseLiving.com. And so with that, we will be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary Get Acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, AgeWiseLiving.com. That's AgeWiseLiving.com to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
go behind the scenes of what you see, hear, and read on the news. Learn the ins and outs of public relations on Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time. Cindy Rakowitz is a Clio Award winner and founder of Rock and Roll Public Relations, who wants to share her PR experiences and knowledge with you. Learn how to handle a crisis, deal with celebrities, and become a terrific PR executive. Listen to the Stars of PR with Cindy R. every Thursday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time here on News Talk Radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Amanda, age 3. Tyler, age 8. Marissa, age 4.5.
We could tell you just how many child abductions last year led to Amber Alerts, but this isn't about cold statistics. It's about saving kids.
Shaniqua, age 14.
To get free Amber Alerts on your cell phone, go to wirelessamberalerts.org. When an alert is issued in your area, you'll receive it as a free text message. Wirelessamberalerts.org. A child is calling for help. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain inspired really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Age-Wise Living with Barbara Friesner. If you have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program, call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
Yes, hi, welcome back to Age-Wise Living, and I'm Barbara Friesner, and today we are talking with Lynn Goodwin, and she's talking with us about journaling for caregivers. And before we went to break, Lynn, you were talking about, I'd asked you when you'd started journaling, and the second part of the question is, what did you write about?
Well, I wrote about all kinds of things. Sometimes I would write about a visit to the doctor, or my feelings around a particular issue. Sometimes I would vent, and you can see that I'm pressing really, really hard on the paper, and it goes through to the next paper. Sometimes I would dream in my journal. I would imagine a day when I was free. Sometimes I would just comment on something going on in the news, something that had nothing to do with anything. And I have since learned that if you get stuck and can't think of anything to write about, you can just look around and write about whatever you see. The sun is coming over the rooftops on the condos opposite me right now, and I'm seeing sun glinting through the trees. And if I just keep going, it will take me somewhere.
Yeah, and that's important because you need to have something to start with. But sometimes you sit down, you know, you've got a book in front of you. It's like when you were a kid and you had a test in front of you. It's like, oh, my God, what do I say? But when you can write about the sun is shining, then you can sort of take it from there, which is really helpful.
This is a common problem for a lot of people, and that's why I wrote the book, which has over 200 sentence starts. You can start with one of my sentence starts, finish the sentence, keep going, and you're journaling.
Yeah, and I think that's really important, and that's something that I really like about your book, is that it's really intimidating. As a writer, I know how intimidating a blank page is, and if I didn't have deadlines, a lot of my stuff wouldn't get written, because you sit there and you say, oh my goodness, what am I supposed to write about? And so it really is helpful that you have sentence starts like, I was thrilled when, I felt isolated when, the kitchen smelled, pieces become, in the room where I grew up, all kinds of different things, which, and then have spaces in it, because people can't, people write on a blank notebook and write on their own? I mean, can they do that?
Well, of course they can do that. Anybody can do that. Most people won't do that. They'll have a blank notebook with the first three pages written in and the rest of it's blank. They don't tend to get back to it. Most people don't have time to be self-motivated and a caregiver simultaneously. There just isn't enough room. And so this just gives you a little nudge. It reminds you that, yes, you can do it. A writer is anybody who writes. You can start again at any time, and then it gives you a start. Just finish the sentence. Most people plan to journal and don't if they just get a notebook. More people will actually do it on a 3 to 7 time a week basis if they have this book.
Yeah, and that's really important. And it's also important, I think, because you were mentioning about sometimes you write about things where you're just venting. And a lot of times I think people, a blank book can become very one-sided because you really take the time to write more often when you're venting and less time to talk about better things that are happening and better things that are going on.
You're exactly right about that. You may need to write about the same subject over and over, but you'll get to it in different ways if you use the sentence starts. You will find a more balanced approach. When I do workshops with people through email, a lot of people find they start with the venting, and then they get to a place of hope by the end of their journaling. And that is very encouraging and reinforcing to people. And, of course, if you're using my book and you're through the lines and you're still writing, then you go to that notebook you bought, turn to page 4, which is blank, and just keep going and be sure you date it.
Mm-hmm. So that you can go back. Now, more about what you were about your journaling, what were you doing when you became a caregiver, and how did it change your journaling? Because you mentioned that you had actually had done journaling when you were in college, so this is, you were not completely new to it.
Well, what was I doing, first of all? I had just been laid off of a job teaching drama at Ohlone College, and I finished out the semester. 6 days later, I got a call from my mother. It was a very interesting call. She said, the strangest thing happened to me. I was standing at the refrigerator, and then I was in the dining room, and then I was back in the kitchen, and then I was in the dining room, and then I was back in the kitchen. But my hand never left the refrigerator door.
Mm.
Yeah, so I knew something was wrong. And then she said, could you please come up here? Which she never ever did. And so I knew something else was wrong.
Yeah.
And at that point, I had really, that point, on that day, I'm not sure I was journaling. I think she gave me the journal that Christmas. And I just started writer advice, which at that point was called Haven's List, I think, and the purpose was to publish author interviews. And so I would take quotes from the books I was reading. And those, I suppose, were my sentence starts. Because then I would reflect on the quote. And then I discovered that I had this habit of they always came back to my mother and me and what we were doing. And so this is a different kind of approach for getting into it. As the years progressed and my mother didn't progress or she got worse and worse, I started to write more and more about events, concerns, what-ifs, fears, and some hope that someday it would end and that someday my mother would find the peace that she needed and someday my life would change.
Mm-hmm. And a difficult time. So it clearly changed to really that being the focus. And then why did you continue journaling after your mother passed away?
Well, I don't know how. The phrase in my head is awkward. I don't mean it the way it's going to come out, but that kind of freed me up
mm-hmm.
to process more stuff. And I had a lot more to write about. I wasn't on the treadmill of caregiving anymore. I was finally moving forward. I live alone, no husband, no children. My journal kind of became my best friend and partner. It was somebody to talk things over with, and lo and behold, it never talked back. So I got to finish a sentence. I went at my pace and not my mother's pace, which was quite slow. And it was like something I could confide in. And I started getting interested in writing and writing the story of what we had gone through and soon discovered that this was a memoir, which was simply not going to happen. And maybe I didn't have a story to tell, although I don't believe that. And this journal exists as a kind of honoring of that time instead of traditional memoir.
Yeah, and I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think something else that happens, I really understand what you're saying. And I think something else that happens, and you mentioned about while your mother was sick, and that is that a lot of times I recommend journaling or just taking notes or whatever to family members, because a lot of times they make a decision. For example, they make the decision to have their mother move into an assisted living because they have dementia and they can't live alone. Let's use that for an example. And then the mother moves into the assisted living because there is structure, because they're now eating well, because they're now having the meds that they need to have, and all of those things are happening, the mother gets better. And now the caregiver feels really guilty because the mother's in an assisted living, and they think, oh, she doesn't need to be here anymore. You know, she doesn't need to be in an assisted living because she's fine. And what I tell them is keeping that journal will help you to remember why you did this, that she wasn't fine when you made this decision. And so, you know, go back, keep a journal, and then go back and read your notes so you can remind yourself that, yeah, I made the right decision even later when it all gets kind of fuzzy.
I think that's a fabulous idea. And the journal is a record of what happened. If you have kids, it's a kind of a legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And you can share with them what you went through taking care of your mom, which will have more meaning when the coin is turned and they are taking care of you. It's kind of a moment-to-moment history.
Yeah. Now, quick question. What do you say to potential journalers who don't like to write?
I'd say first and foremost, that is absolutely not a problem. Here's why. You don't actually have to take pen and paper to do this. You can grab a tape recorder and record your thoughts. And if you want them down on paper, you can have somebody transcribe them. For that matter, there's software that you can talk into and have it appear on your computer. You can draw if you prefer. If you're one of those people who doesn't like to write because you can't spell, and some teacher got you to believe that writing is spelling, I have to announce that is wrong, wrong, wrong. Spelling is something that an editor can do for you if you can't use spell check. Writing is about telling your story.
And with that, hold on to that thought for a second. We're going to come back with that. We have to take a quick break. This is Barbara Friesner, and you're listening to Age Wise Living. And our wonderful guest today is Lynn Goodwin. And when we come back, she's going to be answering more questions about journaling for caregivers. And I want to remind you that for the information about Lynn and her book that we have mentioned, it's called You Want Me to Do What? Journaling for Caregivers. Just go to her website, which is writeradvice.com, W-R-I-T-E-R, advice, A-D-V-I-C-E.com, and then click on Journaling for Caregivers. And with that, we will be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary Get Acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
If you want to put the pep back in your step, Chad Lafferty says just what you're looking for. Dance is life. Life is dance.
It's only about dance.
It's about moving through life with style, gaining awareness of the never-ending, ever-flowing movement that accompanies all of life's activities. Dance is life. Life is dance. Broadcast every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Radio Network. Be sure to tune in and tap into the limitless healing that dance can provide.
Can't stop now.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to AgeWise Living with Barbara Friesner. If you have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program, call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
Hi, welcome back. I'm Barbara Friesner, and today we are talking with Lynn Goodwin, and she's telling us all about journaling for caregivers and all of the information that will get us to be great journalers. And before you went to break, Lynn, you were talking about, the question was, what do you say to potential journalers who don't like to write? And I had to cut you off, so I wanted to go back to that because I think it's such an important thing because there are a lot of people who don't like to write. And by the way, I completely agree with you with the whole spelling thing because one of the things that happens with me is I get so caught up in the format.
Mm-hmm.
I personally, I'm a bad speller. In my personal opinion, bad spelling is the sign of a superior mind. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. However, there are many times when you're doing it, and I will get caught up in the process instead of what it is that I'm writing.
Yeah, the bad spelling issue in our generation comes out of school, and we just have to let it go. If you look at texting, spelling is changing. Really, the whole point of journaling is to tell your story. And you're not thinking about that as you journal. You're thinking about the day-to-day moments, not the complete picture. But if you think about it, Shakespeare told Shakespeare's story, Emily Dickinson told her story, but nobody's going to tell your story from your unique point of view unless you do it, because it only lives through you. So everybody's got to tell their story.
Yeah. Yeah, even just for your family and to get it out and to get it out of your system, because you're right, you're talking about interrupting and people really don't listen. And we're in such a short-term mind these days with the sound bites and everything that you really need to let it out. And is that how you came up with the idea for the book? You mentioned that you were writing a biography, you said? Or your own story?
Well, at one point I thought I was going to do a memoir of my experience with my mother and how it affected both of us. But that didn't happen. I find it creeping into my writing in a lot of fictitious ways, and it certainly has influenced who I am and therefore influences how I write. I guess I'm going about it indirectly, and the journaling helps with that because I find my mother in things I say, don't we all, in things I say, mm-hmm. in things I do, and occasionally I'll catch a glimpse of her in the mirror, but not very often. I'm not actually doing a biography at this point, no. I've moved on to other kinds of writing, and the journaling has freed me up to do that.
In what way? The journaling allowed you to sort of let that aspect go?
Yes, it has.
Telling the story and...
I was stuck in, caregivers will understand stuck in a way that other people don't. I was stuck for 6 years. And I really am a very different person than who I used to be. I always think of an hourglass. I had this big section before when I was a teacher and doing A's for acting and all kinds of things. And then it got very, very narrow, as it does in the center of an hourglass when the sand goes through one grain at a time. And that was me and my mother getting out of the house, getting the walker up the steps, getting her up the steps, getting into the garage, you know, the routine.
Mm-hmm.
And now the hourglass has opened up again. And I have all kinds of people and all kinds of activities in my life. And caregivers need to know that that will happen for them at some point.
You know, that's so interesting that you say that, because I am seeing that hourglass and thinking to myself, yeah, that's exactly how it feels. And you're right, I'm sure that our listeners can relate to it too, that when I was a caregiver for 25 years and for the past 17, well, actually full time, you know, full on for my mother for the past 10 years. And it really is like that, where then you get through that little thin part where it's one grain at a time and it's really caregiving. That's your every thought, every day, you know, at all times in the back of your mind, whether you're thinking about it in the surface or not. And then when they pass away, it's very, very sad. I'm not minimizing that. But then suddenly it just sort of opens up again. And I love that analogy. Thank you. That's great.
You're welcome.
Now, with the book, because it does help people, and I can certainly see how it would help beginners, journalers, but does this book work with experienced journalers?
Oh, it works with everybody, to be perfectly honest. If you are an experienced journaler, you simply have a different perspective. And it works equally well for current and former caregivers. And that's all kinds of caregivers. It works for people who are caring for spouses, people who are caring for parents. Every parent is a caregiver, so whether you have your normal child or a special needs child or a 15-year-old, this book will help you. It helps people who are caring for themselves, and that has become an issue in these economic times. It's also very, very good for nurses and social workers and teachers.
In what way?
Pardon?
In what way does it, for you said it's also, you mentioned them in particular, nurses, social workers, teachers. Why
nurses,
them in particular?
Nurses, social workers, and teachers are all caregivers, and they all have high-stress jobs. And this is a place where they can process their stress, think about how to deal with matters in the office, think about how to deal with specific clients. And they can start to see the stories in their lives when they get a little bit of distance, which you do as you write. It's very interesting when I do signings in bookstores. Many of my sales are to nurses and case managers and people who know somebody that the book would be good for. A lot of people don't recognize that they are a caregiver when they are in that mode, or they resist it in some way. And I totally understand that. Nurses, teachers, and social workers are a little more open to the fact that, yes, as a matter of fact, I am a caregiver for everybody I work with.
And I think women are. I think all women are, in particular, caregivers for you know, spouses and children and parents, but also, and in-laws, but also the boss and, you know, all kinds of other people. It's just sort of the role that that comes naturally. And
absolutely. Many more caregivers are women than men, as I'm sure you know. And that may be shifting a little bit with this generation, but it's mostly women.
Yeah. And why did you direct the book directly to caregivers instead of everyone, since to a very large extent, from what you just said, really, everyone in some way or another is some sort of a caregiver?
Well, you know, I do realize that now, and I might have titled the book differently if I were in the process now and still had not gotten it published. But I hope I wouldn't have. The book came to me as an idea specifically for caregivers. I was talking with a writing partner who had decided she was going to write a book of prompts for writers, and she's very good, but I knew that had already been done. And about 36 hours later, this will sound a little weird, but it is what happened. There's a voice right outside of my head that I'd heard a couple of other times in my life, and it said, journaling for caregivers. And I knew immediately what I had to do, what I was supposed to do, what I was the right person to do, how I could share, how I could help other caregivers, and that that would be something that would come in a way for both my mother and me and be our gift to the world. So it's just very appropriate that caregivers know they can process through writing, and I am inviting the world to try it.
Yeah, and I completely agree, because I know that I am one of those people that you talked about earlier where if you don't have the format, then you really don't do it. And I have sort of a journal, which was really more about conversations that I'd have with the doctors and what they said and the follow-up and who's going to talk to who and when. And, you know, or when I first got involved, there were some IRS problems, so conversations I'd had with the IRS. But as I went along, I did add more personal things to it. And but I didn't do it enough. And then when things got resolved and it was just day-to-day things, I didn't go back to it, and which is really too bad. So
you are a fascinating woman, and you should have a journal so the world gets to know more about what you do and how you handled it and how age-wise living developed. And this would be a fascinating story to leave to people. So journal.
I guess, but I think when I think of journaling, maybe I'm still, you know, one of those diary people, but if I'm going to write, I want to write without censorship. So what do you tell people who, you know, want to protect their journals if they're concerned about privacy?
Oh, well, that's a very good question. First of all, look at your handwriting. You can probably read it, but most people are not going to go a whole page in your handwriting. They just don't. If you really want to protect it, write it out, and you can always make it a flaming offering in your fireplace if you really don't want anybody to see it, or rip it to shreds if you don't want anybody to see it. Or if it's on your computer and you want to save it, you title it grocery list. Nobody will look at that.
Hold that thought, because I want to come back to that, because that's important to me. So we're going to take a quick break right now. This is Barbara Friesner, and you're listening to Age-Wise Living, and our guest today is Lynn Goodwin. And when she comes back, when we come back, she will be answering more questions about journaling for caregivers. And to get more information about Lynn and her book, and I really urge you to take a look at this book and to get it, it's called You Want Me to Do What? Journaling for Caregiving. Go to her website, which is writeradvice.com, WRITERADVICE.com, and click on Journaling for Caregivers. And remember that for more information about me and Age-Wise Living, and to sign up for my free weekly newsletter, please go to AgeWiseLiving.com. And so we will be right back.
News. Opinion.
Can you hear me?
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Why is Pepsi cooler than Coke? Why are iPods so popular? In 2005, how can you launch a successful brand? Want to know? Learn about the fascinating and intriguing world of graphic design and branding on Design Matters with Debbie Millman. Every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time, Debbie Millman will provide you with a provocative look into the stimulating world of design as it intersects with contemporary culture. Hear what the experts have to say about creating, maintaining, and launching a brand in today's challenging marketplace. Join us every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time for Design Matters with Debbie Millman, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary Get Acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
How many of us haven't felt ripped off at one time or another? Don't you wish you had someplace to tune in for the answers? Join Jennifer Litwin every week on The Shop Cop. She'll take the time to explain real value and keep you away from the fraud that's out there in the shopping world. Jennifer has become the shopper's advocate, which means she can get you on the right track. Her guests are a who's who in the retail world. Don't get caught making a mistake in this down economy. Jennifer Litwin is here to help. The Shop Cop, live Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to AgeWise Living with Barbara Friesner. If you have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program, call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
Hi, welcome back to AgeWise Living. I'm Barbara Friesner, and today we're talking with Lynn Goodwin, and she is talking with us about journaling for caregivers. And before we went on the break, I'd asked you, Lynn, about the idea of privacy and that sort of thing, and you know, and I understand about ripping them up, and except that those are things that I would think that you'd want to go back to your own journal. Just not have other people see your journal. Is that you paranoid?
Oh, no, you're not being paranoid at all. One of the things that I do when I don't want anybody else to know something is I write in initials, and I know what the initials mean. They can be initials for people's names, or they can be initials for certain emotions. And it's kind of like code. That's
okay.
A way of protecting your writing as well.
Well, that makes sense, as long as you remember your
code.
That would be really upsetting, wouldn't it, is to go back and to say, oh, my goodness, I don't remember what I was saying. Now, two other questions. One is, what advice would you give to people who are currently caregiving about journaling? And then what advice would you give to former caregivers about journaling? So first one, what advice do you give to people who are currently caregiving?
Well, if you're currently caregiving, give yourself 5 to 10 minutes a day to write in your journal and then write more later when you've got time if you want to. But do process your stress. Don't let it build, because sooner or later when pressure builds, there is an explosion. I think it's a law of physics. So take care of yourself, and a really easy way to do it is to journal. Much, much better than using alcohol or drugs.
True. Very true. And certainly, and I like the idea of do some now and then maybe come back later or not, but at least get the ideas down now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then what about advice that you would give to former caregivers?
When caregiving ends, your stress does not. It shifts. And there are a lot of things that you want to say, that you need to say. You can luxuriate in a journal and really tell your story, and it's a very healing process. Journaling will help you to move forward. Journaling will help you to plan. Journaling will help open up the world. As my world opened up with that hourglass metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
So just do it. Bottom line, just do it, like the Nike commercial says.
Yeah, and it's interesting, because my thinking was, maybe other people think this as well, but my thinking certainly was that when the caregiving was over, then it was over, and that was, you know, the end of it. And what I have since realized is that the aspect of caregiving and all of the stuff that goes with it and all of the love and all of the sadness and all of the rest of it, because my mother had severe advanced dementia, and it was really severe and advanced for 10 years. And so there was dealing with a lot of that. And I visited her every week, and I took care of her, and I held her hand, and I did all the wonderful things that I felt good doing. After she died, it was then time for me to look at things that I had not addressed while I was doing the caregiving, like a certain amount of anger because of things that had happened as a child that I could not deal with when I was doing the caregiving, or else I would not have been able to be a good daughter. And so it really now, and from as a result of you know, getting ready for this show, but also other things, I realize now the journaling will be about dealing with the anger and putting that away and putting it in perspective. And so I can really see how once the caregiving is over, it doesn't stop, it just shifts.
Oh, you're exactly right. You sort of become a caregiver for yourself. And listening to you talk about that, I realize that there's anger I still haven't processed as well, I imagine. I think anger is a universal reaction that we're more comfortable denying.
Mm-hmm.
And journaling helps you to look at it in a non-threatening way.
Yeah, and writing out things that, you know, and sort of just not answering questions necessarily, but just writing down the questions to some extent, or writing down situations so that you can see that they either were as big a deal as you thought or they were not as big a deal as you thought, or writing down all the wonderful things and saying, you know, you kind of forgot these, but they were there.
And if you start listing, one thing will lead to another, and your list will grow. And you'll start to remember things that might otherwise get lost.
Yeah.
It's a very valuable thing. I do a lot of lists in my journal. It's a wonderful tool.
And in the short time we have left, one of the things that I'm seeing a lot of is people, not unlike me, I mean, about half of the stuff I would share and half of the stuff I wouldn't share, although I tend to share way more than half. But there are people who do want to share their story. So how can they do that?
Well, for one thing, you can share it on my website, but you probably want a bigger audience. Take your moments from the journal and turn them into stories, poems, letters, blogs, whatever you want. Share them. If you want to join one of my workshops, we share our journaling with each other, and we only say what we love in the writing, what sticks with us. And that will encourage you to do more. The last two chapters of the book are devoted to things you might do next with your writing.
Yeah, and it really is such a valuable thing to do. It's such an important thing to do. And unfortunately, this is all the time we have today, and the time went really fast. I really want to thank you, Lynn, for being my guest today. It was absolutely fascinating. So thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me there. I really enjoyed the opportunity, and I hope people will visit Writer Advice, and I hope they'll get a copy of the book.
Absolutely, and I agree. And to get more information about Lynn and her book, it's called You Want Me to Do What? Journaling for Caregivers. Go to her website, which is writeradvice.com, WRITERADVICE.com, and click on Journaling for Caregivers. And remember, if you have questions for Lynn that you didn't get a chance to ask, please email your questions to me at Barbara@AgeWiseLiving.com, and then Lynn will answer those questions because she's also going to be writing an article for my newsletter. And to sign up for the newsletter, go to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Also want to remind you to tune in next Tuesday morning, September 15th, and our topic is going to be a largely unknown veterans benefit, an improved pension benefit for veterans and surviving spouses. And most people don't know about it, but it's a great benefit. The money is there, and I'm so thrilled to have Debbie Burke of VeteranAid.org on the show, because she's the one that started all of this and gets the information out. You can't afford to miss this show. So that's next Tuesday, September 15th. I had a great time today, and I want to thank all of you so much for listening. So until next week, this is your most appreciative host, Barbara Friesner, saying have a terrific September, and carpe diem, seize the day.
We appreciate your joining us for AgeWise Living with host Barbara Friesner. Please tune in again next Tuesday morning at 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern, here on the Voice America Variety Channel.